As we celebrate this holy day of Ascension Sunday, in many ways we could look at this transitional period in Christ's earthly ministry as an ending. But certainly we can also look at this monumental occasion as a new beginning of the church. A time when Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. You will be engulfed, empowered with the Holy Spirit to sustain you, even as I'm not with you. So this Ascension Sunday, it certainly is an appropriate occasion for us to also celebrate our graduates, those who are transitioning from their high school education, perhaps their college education, or a new venture in life. Because if you think of that word, that festive occasion, when we celebrate that wonderful occasion, it's often called a commencement exercise, right? And the word commencement, would not so much encompass an ending, a graduation, as what? When we commit something, it's a new beginning. It's a new start. So what if we think of this period, this day, as we celebrate this scripture and honor and pray our blessings upon these who are beginning something new after graduation, if we examine our own life? How can this text perhaps be speaking to all of us about a new beginning? A commencement with school, certainly. For a season in our life, if we're ready to begin retirement and considering a new occupation. A commencement of the church. How do we envision ourselves continuing to serve in a world post-COVID? A new beginning as parents, as we celebrate those transitions in life, learning from that new infant baby and beginning that journey anew. A commencement for families that are coming together. Grace Ann and Austin last night beginning a new life together. How can we receive in this text today a guide for us for new beginnings, career opportunities, Elizabeth, transitions in our family, in our life and faith? Well, let's examine together the words that Jesus shares in our text today that will prepare us for new beginnings in whatever season of life that we're in right now. Our text began where Jesus said, as he's about to leave, he says that, may you never forget that in my name, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached to all the nations. Now, there's a lot happening right there in that one sentence, right? In the NIV translation, it doesn't say repentance and forgiveness of sins. It says repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, there's a whole other theological can of worms that we don't want to open up this morning. I've been known to chase a squirrel in a sermon every once in a while, Kenny. I've got to stay focused here. The thing of this text that Jesus makes clear is that in him there is forgiveness, yes. But a step toward our forgiveness is repentance. Now, I don't know about y'all. So often in my theological journey, I thought of repentance as that sorrowful, woe is me, I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel, God have mercy. Now, there is a portion of that at times in our repentance and our seeking for forgiveness. But repentance, in a more profound way, is really about something we do more than something we're concerned about what we've already done. It's a turning, right? It's a what? A new beginning. It's a commencement. How about that? What if we think about our faith in that way? That in turning to Christ, there is new life. There's new beginning in a way that we've never known it before. So graduates, as you transition in your life, May you never forget that there are things that you need to do to live a life centered in Christ and centered in more joy. I think that's the heart of what Jesus is saying. As we begin things new, there are things that we need to do, and we need to center ourselves more in the ways of Christ. To walk in His ways. Yes, to resist temptation. Yes, to try not to sin and do things that are unloving. But you know, I've told some of you this before. When I first started taking my faith seriously and started growing as a child of God, I really tried hard not to sin. To not do things I shouldn't have done. And you know what? I failed miserably. I blew it all the more. I found myself like Paul saying and crying out, God, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. Woe is me. But you know when things started turning around with my faith? When I realized it's not so much about not trying to do things, but trying to embrace more the loving nature of Christ. I really got it about the faith. In other words, like any loving parent, I started to see there are things that God calls me to do for my benefit. There are things I need to turn from for the joy of the Lord. So young people, as you transition, as you begin new lives as parents, academically, socially, as you transition in your careers, may we know there are things that we need to do. We need to take on more of an image of Christ as we seek to serve. There are also things we don't need to do, right? I was driving the other day. I'm not the best driver, some people say. Now, that's still up for debate, I think. But and one thing I'm not real good at is stopping at stop signs. I just don't really see the reason for that. Do y'all? I mean, you can pull up, and if nothing's coming, slow down pretty good and then go on. What's the way? Why do you have to come to a complete stop? That was my whole thinking up until a few months ago. And I was coming there by a road on Proper Street and just cruising along. And actually, it's out by Highway 2. And I did my kind of rolling stop. And for some reason, I went ahead and stopped. And y'all, right there in my blind spot, as I was rolling, there was a car in my blind spot the whole way. I would have never seen that car had I not stopped. It was in my moving that I created the blind spot. There's a reason for that law. There's a reason to stop. It was an eye-opening experience for me. It was a reminder there are things that we need to do and things that we don't need to do for our own safety and protection. It's there for a purpose. Just as Jesus said, repent and receive my forgiveness. He also said this profound statement in our text today. He said to his disciples, now you're going to go forth in ministry. You're going to commence. But he says this before you go, I want you to stay here in the city until you've been empowered from on high. In other words, Jesus said this very troubling word. You know what he said? He said, wait. Oh my goodness, I don't like that. Do y'all? I want it when I want it. How I want it. I want it the Burger King way, my way, right now, instantly, and I don't want to have to wait. Anybody feel that way at times? We get impatient. Young people, I know that's a challenge for you transitioning. We want the success right now on the ball field or academically. We want to be able to go out and have fun with our friends. But there is beauty in this troubling word called delaying gratification. Putting in the hard work to know the joy of our efforts. To know the joy of, let's put it in a theological word, of our sacrifice, Deborah. To sacrifice is to have life. Jesus, our Lord, embodied that as His very existence. He came into our world. He sacrificed so that we may know joy What if we, as we seek this new beginning in our life, in our ministry, in our careers, in our education, embody this call of Jesus to be willing to wait a little bit for the things, the finer things of life, to put in the hard work, to sacrifice so that we may truly know the fullness of life. Our Lord came to serve. Hard work's not going to hurt anybody, is it, Robert? You see, it goes with grace. It's not earning our salvation. It's not earning our position as children of God. But in response to what God has gifted us, if we work and serve and sacrifice, we will know joy, I think, that we wouldn't have known before. You know, we're going to celebrate Luke Hill in a minute. We're going to give him a Bible. We're going to pray for him. And, you know, he's pretty smart. Some of y'all know that. Some of you may not. The guy made a 34 on his ACT test. Now, Monya and I made a 31. I got 15. She got 16. But he exceeded that by a little bit. And one of our friends said to us, and I didn't think it was very appropriate or very nice, they said, "Where'd he get that?" I mean, just like it fell down from heaven, every bit of it. And I said, "What am I, chopped liver?" I mean, now he has been gifted intellectually. But you know what? Where did he get it? Where did he get that 34? He worked for it. Jennifer Huddleston got him a book this thick that he had to study. He put in the work, the hard work. He studied. He delayed some gratification. Right? See, I think that's at the root of what Jesus is saying. Noah's about to go to dental school. How did he do that? He worked. He sacrificed. We all know that. It's the essence of our faith, young people, family, marriages, new parents. Work at it. It's not going to be easy. You got to fight for that marriage. You got to fight to be a good parent. You got to fight a new beginning and not let life conquer you. Whether it's in civil government, Barry, or transition professionally, let's be willing to wait on the Lord. But here's the good news too. The good news of this promise is that Jesus says this. It's not going to be easy. We've all agreed to that today, right? I'm preaching hard at us, right? And I'm receiving it too. I've told us stuff we got to do and stuff we can't do. Where's the fun in this faith, Jody? Give me something here. Hear this good news with me. It's not going to be easy. Young people, college is hard. Parenting is hard, isn't it, Kathy? Transitionings are not easy, but hear this good news. Jesus, even as he said that I'm leaving you, he said you're going to have power from on high. You know what I received there in this text? Is that God said we don't have to go it alone. It's hard to repent. It's hard to walk in the ways of Jesus in a world where there's so much unlove, right? There's so much arguing, Tommy, so much headbutting. It's hard to be Jesus to the one who's different. But guess what? You don't have to do it alone. You've got power from on high. And how do we get that power? Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Trust in God. Call upon the name of the Lord to strengthen us. Young people, as you begin this career, pray fervently. Learn from a guy who's made his mistakes when prayer wasn't a part of his life. And I found the joy and strength when it was a part of my life. As you commence, Randall, new beginnings, whether they be career or family, pray. And if you don't have the strength to pray, get you a sweet friend, mentor in the faith, and ask them to pray for you. And they'll do it. And God will hear. And God will answer. More good news. More good news, Vince, is this. If we take on this life of Christ, if we in every way we can turn to Him, repent, turn to live out His love, if we delay some of the temptations of life and instant gratifications to put in the hard work of sacrifice, and if we pray for God's strength, here's the result, Pat. Here's what comes. Here's what the disciples received in this text today. I don't think it was simply a figure of speech. I think Jesus was preaching here in His actions. It says, as He ascended, He blessed them. The last act of ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, the very last thing He did for those that He loved was to give a blessing. There was joy. Our text says, as they assembled in the house of worship, Lynn, the trade-off is this. We will be blessed from God on high, no matter what we face, with a sense of joy that transcends whatever circumstance we're facing. Friends, I believe that with every fiber in me, that there are blessings in the walk with Christ and of our faith. There are blessings and joy that our Savior gives that nothing in the world can offer. Friends, never forget that as you commence new beginnings. And finally today, as we speak of blessings, did you also hear how the disciples ended their ministry? Our text says that Judy, they were continually in the temple blessing God. What that says to me is once we're blessed, we're called to be a blessing. There's a song about it, isn't it, Jennifer? It says, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. And in being a blessing, we will know a joy beyond ourselves. You see, if it's all about me and all about us, we've lost the whole purpose of life, of graduation, of commencement. Noah Hill, I'm sorry I preach on my family so much, but they're the only folks I know that well, right? Noah Hill wants to heal. I almost said a cuss word here in the pulpit. Noah Hill wants to use his career to be a blessing. Norris Howell has mentored him in that way. He said, how can I use ministry, Lorenzo, to be a blessing to my community and those I serve? Elizabeth wants to serve at-risk children. Why? Because she wants to be a blessing. Pat spent a lifetime in education because she wanted to be a blessing. There's a joy, young people, when it's bigger than us. May you be a blessing as God has blessed you with His love and forgiveness forever. Amen.